I visited the Sonic the Hedgehog Speed Cafe pop-up restaurant here in Atlanta and didn't get the chili dog. Plus, my favorite Xbox franchise is coming to PlayStation this year. Tonight is February 2nd, 2025, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk.
Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Oh, really? It's the chili dog thing. That's what Chad is saying is hogwash. Mike Depp says it's like going to Disney and not getting a churro. A churro. I've gotten a churro at Disney once. It was once. It's all right. That's Jordan Mazra. Anyway, welcome to an all-right edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on this musical night, instead of watching a musical night on television, thank you so much. We do try to tape the show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us. Interact with the show directly. I will not be here next week, though, because I will be probably not watching commercials, even though that's the excuse. I am going to be watching, hanging out with a group of people watching a television program that is watched a lot here in the United States. And I don't actually care about the actual program itself. It's really to see people that I only see once a year. And it happens to be on a Sunday night. So I don't think I've ever... I believe in 2021 I did a show during this television event because we didn't have a party for it. And that's the only time I've broadcast during it. But Orange Lounge Radio will be here anyway, next week, I believe so, because they don't watch that television program and stuff. So, but I'm going to go hang out with people that I only see once a year. I haven't seen them in a year. I'm going to see them next week. So I will not be here and next week, but I am here tonight for all the hogwash. But I am also on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord. That is where you can find us during the week. And if you listen to the podcast, you can respond back, which we actually have something from that tonight. Because, you know, people, you know, one of the things I do like is when I am wrong about something or misinformed about something, let's put it that way, because I don't try to be wrong, but misinformed, people call me out on it. And I actually appreciate that. And people who listen to the podcast also call me out after the fact, and I do want to get those voices heard on the air as well. So let's go ahead and get into that, because that happened on our Discord server. Mame Fan, who's been listening for a long time, thank you so much, listens on the podcast feed and is one of those people that is also very much into VR and probably a little bit more into VR than I am at this very particular moment, in the sense that it is still kind of doing a lot of stuff with VR. And I kept talking about the Meta Quest 3, and I'm like, yeah, it's a low-end headset. I miss my PC VR. And I went on this whole rant about how Meta killed the high-end VR market and then exited the VR high-end VR market themselves, and nobody's around to pick up the pieces. And Mame Fan said, you know, listening to that podcast episode, the Meta Quest 3 is not low-end. Also, I never used the Link cable for PC VR because it worked poorly. Only the wireless over virtual desktop, and it works great. It's way better than the Valve Index, which is what I run, is the Valve Index. The Quest 3's pancake lenses are the best lenses there are in any headset, the Apple Vision Pro included. So, I think where I was going with it is because the Quest 3, when you're not running it over wireless, over virtual desktop, or over the Link cable, it is still a mobile chipset. And it's still, you know, you have to run everything to something that's strapped to your face. And so it can't be too hot, because then it would burn your face. And So I just immediately equate when I think of the Quest line that's not the Pro, I think of that. And a lot of people do, and because I've never had a Quest 3, I haven't actually done this, a lot of people do still have their higher-end setups. It just runs through the Quest instead of something that's actually attached to your PC. So Quest 3, according to MameFan, wireless over virtual desktop works great. I'm, you know, one day I might get a Quest 3 headset. I might get there because the reason I didn't have one before is because I didn't like how your, this was back when it was Oculus, your Oculus account was tied to your Facebook account, and I did not want to run the risk of, like, I can't delete my Facebook account and keep my Oculus games. They got rid of that. So, like, my barrier to entry is gone. I just now haven't had a real reason yet to get a Quest 3. Because I would get a Quest 3. I wouldn't get a Quest 2. It would be a Quest 3. And I think it's because I don't have three. There aren't three things on the Quest 3 that I want. That's usually my barrier to getting a console. If there are three games or experiences or something that I want that I can only get on that, then that piece of hardware is worth it for, to me. And that's what I tell people. They're like, should I get an Xbox or a PlayStation? I always say, look at what's available. If there are three things that you can only get or work best for you on that platform, that's when you buy the console. Don't buy something for one game or one experience or one app or whatever. There should be at least three. That's my thing. And I don't think there are three yet on the Quest 3 that really make me need to have it. Something, and especially in VR, something that doesn't have a PC VR port or something that's not on PlayStation VR or something like that. The Breakman says, should I get a Switch 2? Yes. There are other ways that you can determine if something is a good value to you, but if somebody asks me, that's always the answer I give them. But people who have the Quest 3 and they can use, they have the good Wi-Fi. Like, I don't think you need to have perfect Wi-Fi for virtual desktop to work over wireless, but you need to have at least good Wi-Fi, and I probably do here because my Wi-Fi is literally, I could touch it right now if I wanted to, and this is the room that I would be playing it in, so it would probably work just fine with virtual desktop. And, you know, someday I will get it, and then I won't sit here and say things like Quest 3 is low-end, and then have people be like, that's not right, that's not true, because it's probably not true, but that's why I get called out. Now, the other thing that MameFan did put in our Discord is about VR, and I actually did I did actually take a look at this. I pulled the VR headset out, turned on all my sensors and everything, and checked this out. There's an independent group that is working on an arcade simulator in VR. And it is called Arcade Time Capsule. And he shared a link to their Discord first, which is now invalid, by the way, because they only last for so long. That's a whole other rant where I don't think Discord should replace websites. I don't want to have to join a Discord server for every program that I own because it's that's not good for preservation. But he also did share the actual binary that we could download from our Discord server, and you could at least walk around an arcade. And so what it is, Arcade Time Capsule, they're trying to recreate the arcade experience. You have to provide your own ROMs. You have to provide your own BIOS. So Arcade Time Capsule by itself is completely legal. I bet the instructions of where you would need to put things that you would find on the internet is probably on their Discord and nowhere else. It was not in the zip file provided. So once again, not great for preservation, not great for searching or archiving, but I was able to walk around, and they did a really good job of recreating the feel of arcades, like 90s era arcades. They have, and what they've got so far in there that you can get if you have not put any BIOS or ROMs or anything like that on there, is they have a whole bunch of arcade cabinets with their track screens and the sounds, and they even have like a TV that has, you know, like I think it's The Fall Guy, I believe is the video that they actually have up there. And there's like this, you know, 4x3 TV in the corner playing a clip of The Fall Guy. And you can add your own music. And so you can find your, you know, put MP3s in a specific folder and it'll play them. And you can walk around and you hear the arcade machines as you go in. And then if you try, you know, go up to an arcade machine and you click on it, the game crashes because you haven't put that game in yet. But it's actually really cool. And there's like 6 floors. There's like, you know, you go into like, it looks like an arcade, but then there's like, it's a storefront, like a storefront arcade. So you can look outside and see the city. I think it's in Pasadena is what they called it. And then there's like, and they've got the cabinets we're used to in the US, the stand up ones, and they've got the sit down ones, like you would see in Japan. And in fact, I believe like one of the floors is actually like a Japanese arcade with like Japanese anime posters everywhere instead of US movie posters and everything. So it's really cool. And you know, I haven't actually loaded anything into it. I basically just went in and walked around and looked at all the different floors. But I've seen other groups do this where they're trying to put like a retro arcade in. And there was another one that I believe was even on Steam. But you could load your own ROMs, and you could load in like console games, because like there was a console in one corner, and then you could play the console games in VR, watching it on a TV and things like that. And the Breakman says, "Yeah, Lee Majors for the win." I assume you meant the original. Yes, I believe, because I went and looked in the file directories and stuff, and I believe it is a clip from the original, because that's the aesthetic they're going for. It's a lot of neon lights, a lot of, you know, a lot of like 80s, 90s aesthetic, which is really cool. So congrats to that team. No, I did not join the Discord, but I did check it out. It's called Arcade Time Capsule. And I believe when MameFan does listen to this podcast, he can probably point to more things. I don't know if they've got a web presence. They absolutely have a Discord presence. But Discord is not a good replacement for websites. And I think we really need to go back to using websites. So thank you for that, and I did check it out, and it works great. And I did it in my Valve Index, and it works great. So I know Quest 3 is probably better, but my Valve Index, it worked great. So let's talk about where I went this week. And this is a pop-up restaurant. It's a traveling experience. And for the next, like, probably at this point, 45 days, because it actually, grand opening weekend was 2 weeks ago. It travels the country. It's going to be leaving Atlanta in about 45 days, and it's going to go somewhere else, and we don't know where yet. I believe it was in San Diego for the previous 2 months. So it came from California, now it's here. It may go somewhere else. I have no clue where. They want you to check be on their socials, and they'll give you hints about where they're going, and then they show up and like, oh, we're going to be in this city, and by the way, next week. So you don't get that much advance notice. But it is the Sonic the Hedgehog Speed Cafe. So this is a officially licensed little pop-up restaurant featuring items from the Sonic the Hedgehog series and inspired by the Sonic the Hedgehog series. So it's a very small place. There was a line outside. I stood in line for about 30 minutes. I went on Saturday, 30, 45 minutes. But from what I understand, the line was a couple hours long previous weeks, especially the week that it was, especially the grand opening weekend. I think some people said they stood in line for 5 hours to come into this. Like, if you know a strip mall, if you're familiar, it's like it was one little, it was one unit. And if it was like, and the back half was all the restaurant where they actually made everything. So like if they even had room for tables, it would be, you know, they would have like 5 tables or something. So it's not a place where you really hang out. You wait in line, you go in, you buy the food, you look around at the walls, and that's it. Here it's in a strip mall. And it was, like I said, it was about, like, I got in line and we basically had to stand for about, I think it was 30 to 45 minutes. And the line got even longer behind me. So we got there at a decent time. It is open. If you're in the Atlanta area, it is open every day from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. So if you don't have a 9-to-5 during the week, you may have better chance getting in quicker if you go on a weekday, especially when school's in session. So there were a lot of people in line that had I saw some cosplay. Everybody had Sonic t-shirts on. So it's a lot of people that love Sonic. And then when you're inside, they actually do have music from the games playing. Here's what I will do is I had video going. I didn't take that much video. I took like 45 seconds worth of video, which is not a lot. But I also didn't want to like be in people's faces because it is a small space. But they had music from the games playing. So they had like music from the old games playing. They did have a PlayStation 5 in the corner. The PlayStation 5 in the corner, I think, was playing one of the newer Sonic games or a demo of it. So while people were waiting for their food, you could play that. They had somebody outside who was letting people in per party. So as people left, they let more people in. That's what the line was for. So basically, you went in, you ordered your food, you got out of there, you got your food, and then you left. You either ate out. We actually wound up eating outside. You basically then let the next person in. I'm going to also show some pictures that I took from inside, just so you can kind of see that on the outside, what they had a poster of Sonic and Shadow, and you could take pictures in between them. They would take your picture. We didn't. Sorry, you don't get a picture of me in this. But then they have, and I'm going to read off some of the items that they had in terms of the food. And Tiger Claw asked, did they have stuff from the movie? No, this was the games. So the license is from Sega. It is not from the whatever production house did the movie. That's a different license. So this, they only have the Sega, the game license. So like the cartoon, the version of Sonic that you have seen in the video games. So, you have the main stuff that you have there is the Sonic the Hedgehog's classic chili dog, which is $12. It's a $12 chili dog. The South Island dog is just a plain hot dog, and it is a beef hot dog, not pork, by the way. Somebody had asked in the line, so I remember that. The Ultimate Fearless dog is a hot dog with mozzarella, pepperoni, bacon, and marinara sauce for $13. That's actually what I had. Breakman's out at $12 a piece. You got to realize something. And I'm going to continue, but I want to say there was like one of the Google reviews had this right. You are not paying for the culinary excellence here. You are paying for the experience. So the sandwiches that they had the Knuckles sandwich, which is a spicy fried chicken sandwich with pickles. It's $13. You can have it mild or hot. Then they also had Pico Pico tenders, which is chicken tenders with fries for $16. The Faux Flicky Nuggets, which are vegan chicken nuggets with fries for $16. The Sonic the Hedgehog's Adventure Fries were chili cheese fries for $11. And then the Chaos Spear Fries, which were fries topped with marinara sauce, pepperoni, and cheese for $13. SRMAT says, yes, it's the nerd tax. Same thing that LEGO charges on some of their sets. Hey, by the way, LEGOs are produced in Denmark, so if you pay attention to the news, you may find that LEGOs might go up in price, depending on certain things that happen, because LEGOs are all manufactured in Denmark and imported into the United States by LEGO US and then sold to you. Anyway, then the sides, they had gold rings, which were golden onion rings for $8, which were good. They were. I'll talk about the food later. The fast fries are your classic French fries for $7. An extra Pico tender, which is basically an additional chicken tender, for $5. The Sonic the Hedgehog's classic chili cup was $10, which is basically a cup of chili. And then Green Hill vegan chili cup, which is a vegan chili cup, for $10. Now, they also had drinks, so specialty drinks. They had soda, But that's not really what you're here for. The blur is a blueberry slushy. So that was $6. The smashing enchida, I don't even know how to pronounce it because I've only seen it said and or read and never said. That is a fruit punch slush for $6. Team Dark is a mocha milkshake for $7. The sweet Amy is Amy's strawberry milkshake for $7. Cream's peachy shake is peaches and cream milkshake. For $7, the peach tea panic is the classic iced mocha sweet tea for $6. The sweet mountain cocoa is hot chocolate for $6. And then for dessert, they have drop dash cookies, which are deep fried Oreos for $9. And then they did have meals, that also came with a t-shirt, except they were out of merch. No merch. So they had all these t-shirts and all that stuff and no merch. They told us in the lineup they had like one of the hoodies in like small and that's it. I got some pictures here. They have like little balloon rings hanging from the ceiling. This was all the merch that they normally sell. So there's like, and it's like Atlanta themed. So like, they've got like the coolest one is like this Shadow the Hedgehog, Atlanta, like sparkle shirt. And you know, they've got a couple caps that are, you know, Atlanta and stuff like that. So, none of that was available because they're out of it. So, possibly, like, maybe they may restock. I mean, they've only been there 2 weeks. They're going to be there for, like, six more weeks. So hopefully they get another shipment in, and, like, maybe I'll go over and, you know, go back and get a shirt or something on a weekday. Just go down there on a weekday so I don't have to spend hours in line just to get a shirt. And, yes, they do have an online shop. As Jeremy Matt points out, Sonic the Hedgehog Speed Cafe .shop is them. They are also on Instagram. Let's see here if I can get the right. So on Instagram, they are Sonic the Hedgehog Speed Cafe. And on TikTok and X, they are Blue Blur Cafe. So that's where you can find it. And you can follow them and see where they're going to be next. Because like I said, they're only going to be in Atlanta for like a month and a half. Then they're going to be on, maybe it'll be your city. Maybe they're going to go up northeast. Maybe they're going to go to the northwest. I don't know. How was the food? Here's what I'm going to say about the food. The food is good to above average for what it is. Kid food. It is absolutely 100% kid food. Yes, the food was indeed food. Podcore says, looks like bowling alley food. Rob Roberts said, it fooded adequately. That was my first take, was like, it's adequate. So, I mean, it's not bad. And it is pretty good. It is kid food. It is made for kids. And it, like, I thought it was fine. Is it $12 fine if you're there for a culinary experience that costs $12? No. But you're paying for the experience of going in and ordering it with and getting the little things that they come in, which we kept, like, two of them because they weren't greasy. You know, but it's kid food. It's fast food. So it was adequate. Rob Roberts says it's state fair food. It's state fair food with Sonic and all of his friends. Thanks, Rob. And Questbush says the containers look worth it. Yeah. So I kept some of the containers for tonight. We're probably going to throw them away after this props thing. But they had the onion rings were in the Sonic container here. And, the fries were in an Amy container, and they, like I said, they were fries. So we did get the deep fried Oreos, and they were a little bit more greasy than we're used to. It was kind of interesting, but other than that, they were deep fried Oreos. We had the deep fried Oreos, and they were fine. My wife had the mocha milkshake, I think is the one that she had. She said, you know, it was good. I actually had the Fearless Dog. I did not get the chili dog. I thought about getting the chili dog, but this is the one that was topped with marinara and cheese and pepperoni, and it was fine. I'm not a big hot dog eater, so that's also why I'm like, it was fine. And, you know, I didn't need spicy chicken and stuff like that. So that was, I didn't get a picture of her sandwich. It was in a wrapper, but she said she had the spicy, the chicken, the knuckles sandwich, and she said it was fine. So it's good. It's good for what it is. It's an experience. It's cool to go in there. It's, you know, you can enjoy your little Sonic stuff, but you're really only in there for like 5 to 10 minutes, and then you're being ushered out. And it's in a strip mall. Like, there's a Home Goods that we were blocking because that's where the line was. You know, made it almost all the way to the TJ Maxx. Like, the line was pretty long. So, and Podcoach says, of course they had Coke products. Yes, I don't know if they always had Coke products. I don't know if they had in the last location, but that's what they had here. Because it's Atlanta, and, you know, it's against the law to not have Coke products in Atlanta. So, yeah, and Questbuster says, fair food is so good and so bad at the same time. And kids don't care. That's the thing about fair food. That's why fair food is the way it is. It's because kids don't care. If it's stuff that the kids like, they don't care. Estuary Man says, so 3 out of 5? Yeah. I mean, I'm an adult. And, you know, it was fine. It was fine for what it was. It knew what it was trying to be, and it nailed what it was trying to be. And, you know, our bill, by the way, just so you know, because of what we ordered, because, you know, this you were paying for the experience, came out to about $66 between me and my wife. So that was the knuckle sandwich, the fearless dog, the gold rings, the French fries, and then she got the Team Dark. That's what she had, was the Team Dark drink, and then the Drop Dash cookies, which are the deep fried Oreos. So it was like, and yes, Bobby literally finding the receipts. I have the receipts right here. Even has my name on it. So yeah. Because they ask you your name so they can call it out. But, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah. Breakman says, sounds like the food was a 2, the store was a 0, but the presentation was a 4. If we're going out of 5 stars, I would actually say the food's a 3. See, here's the thing. If you're like, how is the food out of 5 stars, knowing it's kid food, it's a 4. If you don't know it's kid food, it's probably a 3. But if you know what it is and you realize what it's trying to do, it's a 4. The store itself, it was only a 0 because you couldn't buy anything. And the presentation was probably a 5 because, like, it was kind of cool going in there. I think at some other times they actually had, like, somebody in a Sonic costume, but they didn't have that on the time we were there today. Questmaster says, in all honesty, if one of these popped up nearby, I'd check it out. And that's the thing. It's literally a pop-up. It's there for just as long as Spirit Halloween is. It's following the same model of Spirit Halloween, except they only have one of them in the country at the time. It's in Atlanta right now. If you're in the Atlanta area and you want to know where it is in Chamblee, which is how it's pronounced, not Chamblee. It's in Chamblee. I'm going to speak Atlanta for about 30 seconds, so I apologize if you don't know anything I'm about to say. So it's inside the perimeter. It's just down Peachtree Industrial Boulevard, just inside the perimeter. It's actually Peachtree Boulevard now. They want to get rid of industrial, but that's beside the point. It's just inside there. It's in a strip mall that has like a Chick-fil-A and an IHOP and a Home Goods and TJ Maxx, as I said earlier. It's there. Very busy area, but yes, that's where it is in Atlanta. So northeast side inside the perimeter. Anyway. Rob Roberts says, Bobby, you having to explain which of the 47 peach trees this place is on. Yes. Did everybody get that? Good. Awesome. So, yeah, like I said, worth it for the experience. If you can go on a weekday, especially during the day when school's in session, you're going to probably have a much better time. All right. The news that I wanted to talk about, a lot of other things happened this week in the news, but this is the one that was actually shared on the Discord on my channel. And it is my favorite game franchise, and more people will get to play it. And I am so excited about that. I am not bummed about this at all, but this is the new strategy for the Xbox brand. And it's going multi-platform while still having its own platform. That's where other people haven't done this. Like Sega, when they went multi-platform, they also discontinued their own platform. Microsoft's doing this for them. And the Breakman says, more Halo for Bobby. That is incorrect. I'm talking about Forza Horizon 5. Windows Central reports that the next Xbox game being ported to PlayStation 5 is Playground Games' Forza Horizon 5, the Xbox teams revealed on Thursday. Over the past year, Microsoft has made no secret of its plan to begin launching more and more games on the PlayStation ecosystem. Sea of Thieves was among the first, then Indiana Jones was announced, and now Microsoft is going even further. Forza Horizon 5 is one of Microsoft's most successful games in history, serving tens of millions of players. The flagship racing game is the gold standard for the genre and is a multi-award winner. It's also a huge moneymaker for Microsoft, owing to its live service nature, ongoing updates, and in-app purchases. I will say, they do continually put stuff into Forza Horizon, in the Forza Horizon series. Like, there's new cars coming in, like, and the events, they rotate through the events. It really does a good job. And I never feel compelled to spend more than I already did. Forza Horizon 5 first launched on the Xbox Series X, S, One, and Windows PC in November of 2021. The game was a roaring success, rapidly reaching over 20 million players and, like its predecessors, achieving critical acclaim. And yet I still have not raced online with any of you. That's partially my fault. That's an indictment on me, but still. Tiger Claw says, this news was interesting because you can look at it as Microsoft returning the favor to Sony. Sony gave them MLB The Show, and Microsoft gives Sony Forza Horizon 5, so I think it works out. So here's the thing about MLB The Show. Sony didn't willingly give Microsoft MLB The Show. Sony was never going to do that. Sony did not want to do that one bit. The problem is Major League Baseball wanted an official sim game on Xbox and Switch and PC. And the contract with Sony Studios and Sony San Diego was about to be renewed. And Major League Baseball said, well, we want a realistic sim game on Xbox. And we are going to find a partner that's willing to do that. And Sony's like, well, we don't want to lose the MLB license because we have the exclusive license to do a realistic sim, a realistic MLB, you know, not an arcadey, but like a realistic one. Sony had the exclusive license, kind of like how EA has the exclusive license for NFL for Madden. Nobody else can make an NFL game. And nobody else can make an NFL realistic sim game. Arcade games, different arcadey stuff, different bag. But MLB The Show, Major League Baseball said, we want sim games on Xbox, on Switch, on PC. And Sony had to relent in order to keep the MLB license. So Sony didn't willingly give MLB the show to Microsoft. Major League Baseball did. And Sony absolutely didn't want it available on Game Pass. Major League Baseball did. And Major League Baseball is the licensor, and they get to say a little bit more than Sony would. Like, I don't think you're going to see The Last of Us come to Xbox. Sony's not going to do that. I don't think you're going to see Spider-Man come to Xbox. Sony's not going to do that. Sony only did MLB The Show because they absolutely positively had to. So, shared with Windows Central via sources internally, and then confirmed by Microsoft on the website, developer Playground Games discussed his partnership with Panic Button and a new update coming dubbed Realms. They say, quote, the PlayStation 5 version of Forza Horizon 5, developed by Panic Button Studios in partnership with Tier 10 Studios and Playground Games, will have the same content as the Xbox and PC releases of the game. Previously released car packs, as well as the Hot Wheels and Rally Adventure expansions, will also be available for purchase. We are excited to see the Forza Horizon 5 community grow with new players on PS5, and we can't wait to see the creativity and skill these new creators, builders, and racers will bring to our vibrant community. Unquote. And so what I'm going to actually mention on that is that there is a lot of creation that happens in Forza Horizon 5. Car liveries have always been a part of the Forza series. You can put your own stuff. I always put the Vogue logo on my cars. But people have made like really like elaborate like anime waifu wraps and stuff for a lot of the cars. But also in Forza Horizon 5, you can create races. And you can even, like, create tracks. And you can create your own stunt maps and things like that. There's a lot of creation that can happen in Forza Horizon. So that's what they're mentioning in there. Is there's a lot of user-created things. They say, quote, in addition to bringing Forza Horizon 5 to PS5, we're working on a special new free content update for all platforms, Horizon Realms. Realms will give players the chance to explore a curated collection of some of the community's favorite previously released evolving worlds alongside some other surprises. Stay tuned to our channels for more details soon, unquote. Only yesterday, Microsoft talked to investors about the desire to turn Xbox into a business with higher profit margins, and one way to do that is to sell games. Forza Horizon 5 has likely done all it can do on Xbox Series X and S and PC at this point. Supporting it to PlayStation is a surefire way to guarantee additional revenue and prestige for the franchise. What is less clear is how the degraded status of Xbox console exclusives, particularly among its most iconic games, will impact hardware sales going forward. Already, Microsoft has seen decline after decline, quarter over quarter, with its Xbox Series X and X hardware sales, and reducing the reasons to buy a console could potentially only further exacerbate that situation. Regardless, Microsoft says it's all in on next-gen Xbox console hardware, though with Xbox CEO Phil Spencer describing a golden win on hardware differentiation rather than exclusive games. So, Xbox they are determining that Xbox is an ecosystem. And I've said this for a while because people are talking about, oh, the console war. Microsoft left the console war years ago. Xbox is an ecosystem. Now, they don't care how you're playing an Xbox game. All they care about is that you're playing an Xbox game. They don't care where you're playing that Xbox game. They just care that you're playing that Xbox game. So if that means you got it through Game Pass or it's an Xbox Studios title that you bought on your PlayStation, it doesn't matter. You are still playing an Xbox game. Are you playing Minecraft? You are playing an Xbox game. Even if you're playing the Android version on your phone, you're still playing on the Xbox ecosystem, and that's what they're going for. Sony PlayStation is still fighting the console war, and they're basically fighting against themselves. Yes, the Nintendo Switch is a console. Yes, the Microsoft Xbox is a console. But they're not in the same, they're not playing the same game that Sony is. So Sony won the console war. PlayStation 5 won the console war. Congratulations. No, they won because nobody else is playing the same game that they are. The Breakman says console wars ended in the 90s. Everything else since then has been fanboy bullcrap. Yes. And I mean, there were console wars in the 2000s as well. Trust me, they were around when I started this podcast, because I came in just before the Xbox 360 launched is when I started doing this podcast 20 years ago. But they are silly. They have always been silly. Mike Def says console wars were and have been pretty damn silly now more than ever. Here's the thing. Here's why console wars happen. Here's why console wars happen with the audience, with consumers, because there's not really a console war at the industry level. There's not really a console war up there. It's really just at the consumer level. And the reason is because money is tight everywhere. And it has been for a long time, like not just recent events, but for a long time. So a lot of people, the majority of people, can literally only afford one console. And they need to make it seem like the one that they chose, because they do not have the luxury of choosing two. A lot of people can't afford both an Xbox and a PlayStation. That is a luxury they cannot afford. They have to make it seem like the one they chose, they don't want to feel like they chose the wrong side. They don't want to feel like the way my dad did for buying a whole lot of Betamax stuff or backing Laserdisc a lot more than DVD. They don't want to be on the losing side. And now that social media has been able to really amplify a lot of that, and now, you know, everybody's a content creator, even if you're not producing stuff that I do, if you're posting on social media, that's content that someone else is consuming. And now that we've got all that, people are like, I'm going to make my voice heard. So the choice I made was the right one. It's basically, I want to know that my choice was the right one. That's why you don't see that much console war stuff from people who own multiple consoles, because they don't need to justify if they made the right choice or not. But people who can only afford one, they're going to really make sure that they're the ones that's correct. They're going to celebrate them winning and other consoles losing, because they don't want to be on the losing side. Probably, if you want the console war, get a PC. That's probably, you'll be able to play everything on PC, because even PlayStation's putting things on PC. Xbox, obviously, a lot of their big stuff's also on PC. And if you really want something, you know, probably you're going to have to look between PlayStation. If you can't afford the Xbox console or don't want to spend the money on the Xbox console, then look PlayStation or Switch, which one has the exclusives, because those exclusives are not going to Xbox. The Breakman says, all three main consoles have their positives and negatives. If I had all the time and money in the world, I would buy all consoles and games. I'm excited that more people are going to be able to play Forza Horizon 5. It sounds like it's going to be cross-platform, because I bet, here's the thing, you're going to buy Forza Horizon 5 on your PlayStation 5, and you're going to need to get an Xbox account. You're going to need to, because I believe Minecraft requires an Xbox account as well. So, like, that's already something that is a thing on PlayStation. But you're going to need an Xbox account to be able to play Forza Horizon 5, because it is a live service game. There is, even if you're playing single player, there are online elements to it, which is, you know, its own problem. But I'm the hypocrite where I'm like, yeah, but it's fine. Like, you can play it offline. If you are off, like, Forza Horizon 5 doesn't, like, not work if you're not online. But to really get the most out of it, unfortunately, you do have to, like, be online to get the events, the rotating stuff that happen every week. I have not paid a cent over what I paid initially, which was the actual Ultimate Edition. It was the high-end edition. That was my weakness. But it's not a live service game that's, like, demanding that you, like, feed it more cash. Esther Matt says, my dad backed Betamax and then was slow to adopt anything after that. He wouldn't let us get his CDs for a while because he wasn't confident it was more of a fad. My father backed one and then, you know, wound up always being on the losing side, and he just got used to it, and so he just bought more things. So, like, my dad backed Betamax and then VHS one. My dad backed Laserdiscs and then DVD one. My dad backed HD DVD and then Blu-ray one. So, I think the only thing that I think he backed early on that wound up kind of winning was the iPhone. He was on the iPhone train. He wasn't on the Android train. So, but that was, like, the only Apple device he owned. He didn't own any other Apple, but an iPod and an iPhone, absolutely. Absolutely. We are going to take a very quick music break, and then we will talk to Rob about some of this stuff. And see what he might have looked up at the Video Game History Foundation, because their archives went open this weekend. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show. You're in the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
You're participating on the Voice of Geeks Network with the Bobby Blackwell Show, hosted by Bobby Blackwell, who is wrong.
Oh my God! Did MameFan put you up to that? That was from Redertainment, by the way. But thank you so much for that. I guess MameFan put him up to that. I don't know. Hey, so yeah, if you want to leave a bumper, all you gotta do is contact me somehow on the Discord, or you can email me bumpers@bobbywackwolf.com if you want to use email. I still have that, or on Blue Sky or something. And I just need an MP3 of just your voice. I need to stop doing that. I keep hitting the arm here. Send me an MP3 of just your voice, and I'll choose what DMCA violation to put behind it, unless you have something that's not a DMCA violation. You know it, that it's not a DMCA violation. Or a video, because we have video here on Twitch and stuff, but it's still an audio podcast. Anyway, sounds like I was banging on a piano. Yes, I apologize for that. I've got a mic arm, and there's, like, a spring, and when I put my hand up, and, you know, I talk with my hands because I'm on video and I do that, I will sometimes hit the side, and that's what you hear. Hex says, I'm something of a DMCA violation myself. All right. I understood that reference. Let me check. I'm going to see if anybody... I don't think anybody was in the green room. Nope, nobody was in the green room. So coming up next, though, let's talk about what's coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. It's Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And we like to check in with them to see what they're going to be talking about, what's going on in their life. Sacramento, are you there?
I am here, Bobby. How are you?
I am doing well. And I had some Sonic. I had some fast food. It went fast.
Gotta go fast food.
Gotta go fast food is what it, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we've all kind of gone to one of those type of like pop up or, you know, silly, questionable value sort of experiences, yeah, things just to, you know, experience the atmosphere. So it looked, yeah, like it looked like it was fun, even, yeah, though the long line would have annoyed me, but I guess, yeah, it could have been worse.
And the long line was even longer, like after I got there. Like we got, yeah, there and then I noticed like, oh, it rounded the corner since we got here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so and I know people like they came up and they were like, yep, line's too long, leave. So but no, it was kind of a lot of families with kids.
And they told you in line that they didn't have merch, right?
Yes.
I think I heard,
yes,
say that. Okay. So at least you knew what you were waiting in line for, because that, yes, would have annoyed me, yeah, so bad to like stand that big old line and then get to the front and find out, oh, there's no merch. Because some of that merch did look cool. I was, yes, like, oh, I would have maybe got a trucker hat.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, so and they claim they're going to restock. They're like, join our mailing list and we'll text you when we restock. I'm like, I'm not giving you my phone number. No, but you know, I could have if I really wanted it. And
they're always happy to sell you later or something. Yeah. They'll reprint based on demand or whatever.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, you're paying for the experience, and you know, it. Like I said, they had a person going through, and what was interesting is that it was a lot of families. And it was the kids also, like, the parents grew up on Sonic and the kids grew up on Sonic. So they were kind of, like, talking, yeah, about, you know, it's a multi-generational thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of cool to, like, kind of overhear some of those conversations and, you know the adults talking to the kids about their love of Sonic and where they can, you know, and the characters and all that stuff. So
I'm sure Mario Movie was a very similar experience, yep, for a lot of people. And I also think, you know, I do a lot of show hosting here locally, including, yep, Rocky Horror Picture Show, which has been running for forever. And a big audience that we get now at Rocky Horror is we're getting people that are taking their, not so much kids, because it's Rocky Horror, but, you know, late teenagers, we'll say, around that coming of age, 17, 18,
yeah,
going to see Rocky for their first time, their parents are taking them. So it's kind of, or like the cool aunt is bringing, yeah, them, you know, type of thing.
Yeah.
So it's always fun, those generational sort of, yeah, you know,
And they do, I think, have some of the stuff online. I know Dark Soccer asks, is it stuff you can get on the Sega Shop? It is literally about the Atlanta edition of the Sonic the Hedgehog cafe. So I've got some pictures that I'm gonna put back up because pictures.
I briefly looked at the website,
yeah,
and I'm gonna guess that the website for this cafe is independent of anything else, and they're really just licensing,
yes,
the Sonic branding,
yes,
for food sales.
This is
not gonna be connected,
yeah,
to anything else.
It's officially licensed by Sega, but this is a different group. So
yeah,
they actually have like Atlanta themed stuff for this, so you can still get it. I believe it's Sonic the Hedgehog Speed Cafe .shop. They actually have some of this and it's sold out on the website as well, so I may not even have to go back to get some of this stuff once it's back in, but yeah, it's like all like branded like Atlanta Sonic the Hedgehog stuff, which when they go to the next city in, you know, in a month and a half, it'll be branded for that city, because I believe it was in San Diego before. This is not the first city it was in,
yeah,
but I'd
I was
have
looking,
to
looking around the website a little bit, a couple cities in Southern California, and then I,
yeah,
think one place in Texas and then Atlanta.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And they haven't announced.
Now that I look at that picture though, those trucker hats are $32. I don't know. Maybe not.
You're paying, not. Rob, you are paying for the experience.
Clearly.
Not clearly. The culinary or merch excellence.
Did someone put a tariff on those hats? Is that why they're so expensive? Like, what's going on?
Dr. Robotnik did, yes.
Ah, yes,
yes,
okay.
He did. So, and I mean, you know, they need more rings. That's, you know, golden rings, gold. Yeah, anyway. So I wanted to ask, because we talked about it last week, and I don't know, like, I know you've had, like, a kind of a busy weekend and stuff, but mm-hmm. Last week we talked about the Video Game History Foundation. They did launch their archives. Did you look up your Nintendo Power yet?
I, you know, funny enough, I did not look up the Nintendo Power. The first thing I searched for was Orange Lounge Radio to see if anything like in an old publication,
oh, wow,
I may have missed.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
I searched for All Games Radio because mm-hmm. I was curious if maybe there's an, and I didn't see anything on that either. Sorry to
yeah.
say. Unless maybe, you know, it could have been spaced out. I did it all as one word.
Yeah.
Or like All Games Space Radio. But I, you know, I was like, I just assumed VOG Network is too new, all things considered, to be in anything. But yeah, I was doing ego searches, just curious. Yeah. Didn't find anything. And then I searched for the Guardian Legend, and I did find a like a gaming guy that was advertising it, was not selling the game appropriately. It was talking about how it was a shooter that tried some new ideas. And that's okay. where it left it off. But then right under it, it also is like a buyer's guide for games coming out that year, was it announced Bionic Commando for the NES, which cool. That was a great game, except the screenshot arcade version, which was completely different. Than the NES
we didn't
version.
Care as kids.
I know, but it's funny now to go back and kind of look at those types of things. So yeah. It's great. Oh, Questbuster found it? That's
yeah,
really
Questbuster
funny.
Found your question about Legacy of the Wizard, because that's what we talked about last week.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I'm going to talk up Questbuster here a little bit, because on Blue Sky, Questbuster mm-hmm. does oh, this yeah. amazing thing where he goes through. And he will bring up, like, he's big into old computer RPGs, so, like, the old mm-hmm, CRPGs mm-hmm. of the 80s, but he will also dip into stuff from the 90s and the early 2000s. I think he just posted stuff on Icewind Dale. And he always, like, includes, like, the magazine ads or, like, other materials. So I'm thinking he loves this archive now existing, because, like, there's now going to be more stuff. Mm-hmm. Although they do say the main... Folks. The first thing it shows is like, you are using this for research purposes only, right? And then you click
no,
OK.
I'm using it for egomaniacal driven.
You're researching
purposes.
For your ego.
I'm researching me.
Yes.
The most important subject in the history of civilization.
Yeah. So, but like, Questbuster does a lot of that stuff, and he'll even like put up videos of the game. So it's a, yeah. So it's, you know, Questbuster, I think, what, questbuster.bsky.social, I believe. And yeah, so that's a really cool resource, and he, like, every day he's posting stuff, and it's a lot of like the stuff that the Video Game History Foundation put out. So yeah, I haven't actually gone through it yet myself. Like, I was asking you a question that my answer was no, but I want to see if your answer was yes. So I should search for myself, because I think we were mentioned, like, I thought we were mentioned in a magazine. Maybe the Video Game History Foundation doesn't have it, but it was like a listener started working for a retro gaming magazine like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I thought mentioned us in the magazine, but it may not be a magazine the History Foundation has.
That could be, yeah. I was thinking maybe the Xbox Gamer Pick Pack. That was one reason yeah. I searched for All Games Radio.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking if anything may have gotten in a magazine, it could have been that, but no dice.
I actually got a DM on a social media website from somebody, and it was like, it went into my spam, so I didn't see it for like 2 months. But it was like, hey, I've had the same, your profile picture here on this social media website, I've had as my gamer pick. And I was wondering if you can tell me if you knew where it came from, which I get a lot because, like,
yes,
it's
yes, I had that commissioned like yes. 20 years ago.
Yes, my girlfriend at the time drew it. but yeah, because like a lot of people don't know where it's from. It's just it was one of the more generic ones that were in the pack. So they just were like, oh, it looks like a cool little wolf thing. You know, and so they used it, and they don't really know what it's from, because even Xbox didn't say what it was from. They just said it was the All Games Radio Community Gamer Pick pack number, Community Gamer Picks number 2, and it was just one of the ones in there. It was the one that people used the most,
well,
because it was so generic.
And I don't take this the wrong way, Bobby. Mm-hmm. I'm saying this with compliments, but how many picks on the gamer marketplace would maybe appeal to furries?
Exactly. I know that
said with compliments, yep. And love, we love the furries, but yeah, yeah, I think it's probably one of those where like, yep. Oh, this represents what I want to yep. put out online. Yeah.
Which
like
Hex
says in chat. Oh
yep. Yeah. No. And I myself am not part of that community. That's not where the name came from. I greatly respect that community, and man, some of those fursuits are amazing.
Yeah,
like seeing them in person and stuff, because I went to the lobby of a furry convention last year to go meet somebody up and else, and just like the elaborate, and I see some
of
them sometimes
just
at Dragon
Con. I was in San Jose like 3 weeks ago. Yeah. Same thing. Yeah.
And so much respect. I'm not part of the community, but much respect to all of them there. So I have no problem with them using that gamer pick. But a lot of people don't know what it's from.
Yeah.
So which
no,
is
in retrospect, we should have not had OLR on our mm-hmm. profile. You know, but I mean, it was a very well done gamer pick by Loki that we had up there. And I'm not, it's certainly nothing against that. It's just like, oh yeah, more people probably would have used it if it was a little more like, but like it should have been a legally distinct DDR arrow type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but a lot of people just used their album art, their iTunes album art, because that's what it was promoting was podcasts. And that was my album art. I just took away all the words around it and just had it be the picture for mine. And that's why it worked.
That's so interesting now that I remember that you had, you know, your girlfriend many, many years ago did that original art. My ex-boyfriend many, many years ago did that original orange thing when we first were. So we had like a little, we haven't really used it in years.
Yeah.
But you know, well, probably around that time when OLR was first on, we had that little kind of orange thing. And yeah, so.
Mm. Yeah.
Memories.
By the way, Questbuster says, Rob's crown question is in Nintendo Power's 00007 issue in Counselor's Corner. Someone is also asking about Bases Loaded and Ninja Gaiden.
How funny. That sounds right, that like Ninja Gaiden was also in there. Yeah, yeah, that's fine. I'm gonna search that after we're all wrapped up here.
Yep. So what else are you going to be talking about on Orange Lounge Radio tonight? And are you going to be here next week?
We will be here next week. Okay. Yes.
I will not be here next week. Party reasons.
I know that. But, you know, when it comes to that game, you know, it depends on who's doing the halftime show. Right. And
it's Kendrick Lamar. Wasn't,
yeah, it's not Girly Pop this year. No. And that's the only time it gets my attention is when it's Girly Pop. Yeah. So, OK, so tonight on Orange Lounge Radio. Oh, this is tough. We have one of our first big layoffs of 2025. We thought we'd be past this. Well, no, we didn't think we'd be past this in 2024. We hoped we'd be past this in 2024, but unfortunately we aren't. And this is a studio I know Jamie is a big fan of. We're all big fans of, really. So we got to talk about that a little bit. But on the plus side, a game that I love a lot, that keeps getting updates over and over and over again, got another big update this last week.
Yeah.
Is that we are not any signs of ending, unlike a certain Warner Brothers title that will be ending in the coming months.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. And why won't that game company let us pay them money? Why won't they?
I mean, you can pay them money for a single player mode, I guess.
I could.
But that's, yeah.
Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thanks, Poppy.
So that is it for me. I will not be here next week. I will be back in 2 weeks on Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us. Interact with the show directly. And come join us on our Discord server, VogNetwork.com/Discord. You can also find me on Blue Sky at BobbyBlackWolf.com. You can continue to see pictures of my cats. You know, I talked about the kittens for like at length that I got last week on the video game podcast. I apologize to those who wanted video game news. Still have not been able to pet my girl kitten yet, but I was able to pick her up and put her in a cage to go see the vet. She's fine. He's fine. Everything's fine. They haven't been in this room yet. They haven't come in yet. They probably will this tomorrow when I'm starting working again. But they've got access to the rest of the house. Everything's fine. And we're really enjoying them, and I'm posting pictures of them on my Blue Sky account over at BobbyBlackWolf.com, so I don't have to continue talking about them here on the podcast. So, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, but we would not be able to make this work without the help of the chatters who go above and beyond. A lot of people went above and beyond last week. Thank you so much for that. But some people were able to do it this week. Thank you so much. Fifth Dream resubscribed. Thank you so much for that. And Dark Sakura gifted a sub to the Breakman so he would not have to see ads when he refreshed the stream. Thank you so much for that sub gift. I'm going to hit the button that says I'm out of here. I will see you in 2 weeks. I don't care how the game goes next week. I'm there to see friends. The commercials I can probably go see now. But enjoy yourself. Play some games. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.